They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Tell it to the judge. Apple and Samsung have their day in court.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Lawyers from the two biggest smartphone producers in the world will be in federal court in San Jose, California today. Samsung, that's number one, is being sued by Apple, which is the second biggest smartphone producer, believe it or not. Well, Apple is asking for more than $2 billion in damages, as well as an injunction to stop the sale of its rivals' devices. Marketplace's Quina Kim reports.
Apple claims Samsung products copy the iPad and the iPhone's design. And Apple has a patent on those designs, which includes
the button placed on the bottom, a large screen, rounded corners, and a rectangular shape.
Colleen Chen is a law professor at Santa Clara University. And Samsung's comeback? No, Apple, you're the copycat.
Samsung's rejoinder is you only can get a patent over something that's new and other people had this similar idea before you.
The lawsuit signals that design patents are emerging as the newest weapon in the patent wars, and Apple has a big arsenal. Robin Feldman is a law professor at UC Hastings. She says Apple even has a patent for clean lines.
It's worth asking whether we should be giving so much power for the kinds of things that we give design patents for.
Because in the hands of a powerful company like Apple, Feldman says design patents could squash competitors and innovation. I'm Quina Kim for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, 1.6% higher in Hong Kong, up 0.8% right now in Frankfurt, and 0.5% in London. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow surged 187 points to close at 13,075.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
We are now 99 days away from the presidential election, and one of the key themes of the campaign up to this point has been income inequality. Well, President Obama's former top economist, Larry Summers, says that's not the debate we should be having. Summers would rather focus on inequality of opportunity. As part of our ongoing coverage of wealth and poverty issues, we are joined now by Larry Summers. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be with you, Jeremy.
Well, what do you mean when you say we need to focus on inequality of opportunity in America?
It's probably inevitable that there's going to be substantial inequality. We want people who achieve extraordinary things, but it's imperative that we have a system in which everybody has a fair chance to succeed if that system's going to be legitimate.
So what's the answer then?
There's no single magic bullet. We've got to do much better at educating those from less advantaged backgrounds. We've got to make sure that everyone's got a fair chance at college. That goes to controlling the growth in tuition costs. That goes to the kind of financial aid that we provide. That goes to admissions policies, which too often reward things that only very fortunate parents can provide with their children.
What about the things, though, that you can't control from Washington, like, for instance, what happens in the home, what the parents do, what choices the kid makes?
Not everything is amenable to public policy. The government can't read to a child before the child goes to sleep. What the government can do is assure that working families have opportunities to earn reasonable incomes. It can strive to create an economy in which people who want to work are able to work. These are all steps that contribute to more equality of opportunity.
And I'm sure that your political opponents on the right would listen to this and say this is more government involvement. Wouldn't a free enterprise system be the best way to ensure that everyone has equality of opportunity?
They wouldn't be right. The market left to its own devices is not going to get poor children to college. The market left to its own devices is not going to help those least fortunate communities provide decent public education. There's much that government needs to do to create more equal opportunity.
Well, you were the top economic advisor under President Obama. Do you think that he has done enough? And do you think that you did enough on this front?
There's certainly much, much more to be done. But I think if you look at college affordability, if you look at the steps that were taken in Race to the Top to strengthen public education, President Obama has done more to support equal opportunity than any administration in substantially more than a generation.
Now, all of this ties, of course, into the debate over taxing the rich and whether they should pay a few percent more or less. Do you think that we can ever come to agreement on that? This is a debate that's been going on for 20 years or so.
The top tax rate was 90% when Dwight Eisenhower was president. The top tax rate during most of President Reagan's term was 50%. It strains credulity to believe that at a time when we've got larger budget deficits than we've ever had before, somehow it will do grievous damage to the economy to restore tax rates only to where they were with President Clinton. I think that's an elementary kind of judgment about where we need to go as a country in the context of addressing our long-run challenges.
Well, Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary, former top economic advisor to President Obama, now professor at Harvard, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I also asked Larry Summers about some of the other big economic issues of the day, like whether it's time to break up the big banks. You can find his answers at marketplace.org. And tomorrow we'll be hearing a different view on all of this from Arthur Brooks of the Conservative American Enterprise Institute. Finally, to a little snafu you may have heard about at the Olympics, officials accidentally showed a South Korean flag instead of a North Korean flag at a soccer match. Oops. Well, one company is taking advantage of the mistake. A British chain that sells eyeglasses has put out ads that say, if only officials had come in for an eye test, this whole thing could have been avoided. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.